and the telephone jangled a cruel reminder of last night's tumblers of scotch. Robinson, I said. A sinking feeling hit me hard once I recognized my editor's voice. Turn on CHTV. If you see what I see, start packing, Lou said. I obliged and was soon haunted by her deep brown eyes, creamy white skin, and luscious red lips. I was packed and airborne within the hour. I drifted back to the day I met her. My DeSoto and I had been trailing her for weeks, and like every evening, she appeared at the door stoop, felt the night's air, then readied herself for the post-supper seaside stroll. As I looked for my camera, I jumped at the knock on my window. If you're going to keep such a diligent eye on my comings and goings, I think it prudent to introduce myself. I'm Claire Burks. She smiled, then offered a silk-gloved hand. I caught my breath too late, and may have blushed. She was beautiful. Legs that went on for miles, a road I'd like to follow to the end. The stewardess interrupted my thoughts. I emptied my drink to hide the red in my cheeks. Ironically, the plane's sudden descent was not unlike the emotion I'd experienced when she greeted me. Her danger was intoxicating, but somehow we became friends, more than friends. Perhaps I was a pawn in her evil game. That was 20 years ago. I smiled at the possibility of rediscovering the last quarter mile. Lou was right. CHTV was telecasting a performance of the tenors, and Claire's seductive brown eyes did not escape the director's attention, nor Lou's keen eye. He knew my obsession for Claire and saw my tailspin to scotch since her disappearance. I was angry he'd found her first, but couldn't deny the excitement of seeing her again. I parked myself at the Versetut Café, a classy outdoor spot along the river. It wasn't the ocean, but it felt right, imagining she'd pose at the entrance and smoothly settle at my table. If only I had my DeSoto.